This is a message for our time. I talk a little bit about it here once or twice, but I did not go deep into it. This will be a message for our time. And I pray that nobody will be slumbering or sleeping or doing anything else. It will take some time, but please, bear with me. Give me my time. Give me some time to address this issue of consecration. All right? So, this is the background of the message. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart. Possession. If you say this car is yours, it is yours. Am I correct? Now, we can say that the car is not mine because I have not paid it off. If you buy a car, let's say, for $40,000, but you got a loan to pay it, is it yours? It is not yours. If you do not pay for two or more months, you may end up losing it. Am I correct? This is not a possession. If you buy a house for $300,000, the money does not come from your pocket. Believe me, the house is not yours. It's a different way to say that you rent that property. And at the end of 30 years or 15 years or probably 20 years, it will be yours. But still, because of taxes, if you do not pay taxes for probably 6 months or a year, probably a little bit more, you may end up losing it. This is not a possession. When the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, is it partially or totally? 100%. It is 100%. It's all His, not yours. You cannot share it with somebody else. You cannot share it with the world. It transforms. You may notice that it says, when the Spirit of God takes possession of the heart, it transforms you. You may say, wait a minute, the Holy Spirit is a person. Why does Sister White say it? In this case, it is not about the Holy Spirit as a person. It's about a power. In the sense of a power, the power of the Holy Spirit taking hold of you. Sinful thoughts are put away. Too much to say, I'm telling you. But for sinful thoughts to be put away, the Holy Spirit must take control of your heart. I'm talking about control. Evil deeds are renounced. Love, humility, and peace take the place of anger, envy, and strife. Joy takes the place of sadness. And the countenance reflects the light of heaven. No one sees the hand that lifts the burden or beholds the light descend from the courts above. The blessing comes when by faith the soul surrenders itself to God. Then that power, the Holy Spirit, which no human eye can see, creates et nous being in the image of God. Let us pray. To worship you, implore your presence, implore your blessings, implore you that you may give us understanding, an ear to hear you, eyes to see and to understand. Bless this audience from the little one to the older persons that we have here. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Let's go. So let's see this. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. What does it say? Everybody with me please. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Now my question, the first question that I have for you. Is that a promise? What is the promise? No. What is the promise? You will find me. What condition to find him? Search with what? Is it part of your heart? How do you show that you seek the Lord with all your heart? All right, thank you, my sister. Ye shall seek me, okay? And will find me. There's a condition to find me. When ye shall search for me, how? With all your heart. You can understand that some people have never found God because they do not search for him wholeheartedly. They have something in their heart that they don't want to give up. By not wanting to give up everything, they will have nothing. You may come to church every Saturday, participate in Bible study every Monday or Tuesday night or Wednesday. I don't care. If you do not search for the Lord with all your heart, it's... All right. So let's keep going. Reason for not being heard by God. Follow me, please. Do not sleep in slumber or slumber. What is one reason for God not to answer our prayers? We just read it. We just said it. One reason for God not to answer our prayers is because we are not praying with all our hearts. Sometimes we kneel for a few seconds and we already stand up and we do everything that we have to do without thinking. We don't even think about what we're saying to God and how we say it. Now we understand why so often we are complaining that God has not answered our prayers. The reason for complaining that God has not answered our prayers is that We are not doing what we should be doing. We are not seeking the Lord with all our heart. Okay, we will come back. We will find God when we seek him the way that we should. If we want change in our heart or in our life, there is one condition. The whole heart must be yielded to God. Or the change can never be wrought in us by which we are to be restored to his likeness. This is where you get it from. Now, if you marry someone, or if you're gonna marry someone who tells you, honey, I had a friend before you. I'm gonna marry you, but he will be someone in the side. I will not meet him every time, but once a month, or twice a month, or once every 2 months, or 2 or 6 months, I will meet him. Will you marry that person? No? No. I will not marry that person. Beautiful she may be. Rich, intelligent. But you're not intelligent if you say that to somebody. So think about God seeing that your heart is not wholeheartedly to him. How do you think that God would accept you? God is not duped. God will not allow you to deceive him. He knows everything about you. You may be crying, mourning, groaning. I don't know. Your prayers, your tears will not make a change in God's condition to answer your prayer. If we are still fighting against sins, there's a reason for that. The warfare against self is the greatest battle. Okay. Do you know where I'm going? What is the greatest battle in life? Battle against self. And think about you not giving your heart completely 100% to God. This is a battle against self. This is a battle against self. You don't want to give the whole thing to God. The warfare against self is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, yielding, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. God, do I need to give up this too? Yes. What about that one? Yes. Just this little thing, God? Yes, you give it all. Why? Because it's not good for you. No, God, I feel like it will be good for you. Okay, it's on you. Now, the yielding of self, surrendering all to the will of God, requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. We just read that the Holy Spirit will create in you a new heart. And you know that without having that new heart, none will be saved. It is to your advantage to give wholeheartedly your life to Christ. Why should you fight with him or against that? We may ask for those who want the change, but not knowing how, why does God not do it without my consent? God could do it without my consent. He doesn't want me to ask him to do it every time. God wants it to be like that. And you will probably see why. God does not force the will of his creatures. Who forces the will of people? Satan does. God does not. Likewise, if there is a requirement coming from any government asking the subject, no, let me not say subject, because we don't have any kingdom. We have a republic. We don't have a kingdom. We have a republic. We are not subject. We are citizens. You cannot require me to serve the Lord according to your will. If you force me to do that, this, even if you call it a law coming from the Lord, you say, go to Saturday's churches. Go. You worship God on Saturday. This is not from God. You cannot force your will on anybody, even to observe the fourth commandment. This is not from God. Okay. He cannot accept an homage that is not willingly, and intelligently given. A mere forced submission would prevent all real development of mind or character. It would make a man a mere automation. We are not robots. Okay, thank you. We are not robots. What is a robot? A robot is a machine that takes what? Orders or commands from someone behind, guiding the robots doing whatever they want to. God does not want us to be robots. Otherwise, there would be no sin. He would say, all right, let's keep going. The government of God is not, as Satan would make it appear, founded upon a blind submission. God wants us to resonate with him, to reason with him. Come in, let us reason together. Now, if God says, ask somebody to do something, you are allowed to ask them why. If you cannot understand why, you just obey. Because God does not make any mistake. Whatever he requires from his children is for their good. It appeals to the intellect and the conscience. Come now and let us reason together, is the Creator's invitation to the beings he has made. He desires that man, the crowning work of his creative power, shall reach the highest possible development. Now, would you compare yourself with a donkey? Or, what is the name of it? Chimpanzee? Would you compare yourself with something like that? Even your dog that many people love so much that they sleep on the bed with? Would you compare yourself with a dog? No. The crowning work of his creative power is the man. He sets before us the height of blessing to which he desires to bring us through his grace. He invites us to give ourselves to him that he may work his will in us. We will come back to that. In giving ourselves to God, we must necessarily give up all that would separate us from him. Hence, the Savior says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what holds you back from giving you wholeheartedly, thoroughly, completely, totally to God? It may be your phone. Am I correct? I said that. I don't remember where. I don't know for everybody, but even myself, sometimes I end up going to the bathroom with my phone in my hand. Sometimes is our phone not our God? We watch everything on it. We do everything on it. We read the Bible on it. We go to church. And you use it to worship God. The phone becomes our God in some sort. Will we give up our phone? Food! Let me ask you a question. What is the food that you love the most? What is your best meal? Do you love fish? I do. But I stopped eating fish since 2009 when I was in New York. Do you love goat? It's been a long time since I stopped eating goat. What about chicken legs? Oh my God, I love it more than anything. But I give it up. What are you giving up for Christ? Whatever shall draw away the heart from God must be given up, whatever it might be. Mammon is the idol of many. What is a mammon? Let me see the hand of those who do not love money. Put it down. Put it down. You love money. You don't? Okay. You don't love money? I do. Is it a sin to love money? No. Why is it not a sin? Or why, when is it a sin? Okay, okay, I like that. What about you, my sister? You were about to say something, Karen?
No, I was just listening.
Oh, you just listening. Yeah. But go ahead. I know you have something in your
heart.
Yeah, this is it. This is it. Now, if your desire is much going toward money than toward your neighbors or even God, this is loving money more than God. If money is using you instead of you using money for good causes, money becomes your God. The love of money, the desire for wealth, is the golden chain that binds them to Satan. Reputation and worldly honor are worshipped by another class of the church in the world. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey His law. Okay, we're gonna go deep into tumultuous or wavy sea. While they rely upon their own efforts to obey God. Let me see the hand of those who do their best to be saved. You do the best to be saved. You do the best to be saved. You do the best to be saved. Okay. Now, we're talking about the best to be saved. What is the best thing to do to be saved? Eh? Okay, you surrender. That's good. Now, many times we fall into the trap of saying, from today on, I will not do this anymore. Is it a good thing to say that? You say no. Is it a good thing to say, from now on, I will not do this anymore? You say no. Okay. It is not. Or is it? All right. Now, their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, but they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven. Such religion is worth nothing. If you try to save yourself from sin, you will never be victorious. You will never win that fight. But what do we give up when we give all to Christ? What do you give up when you give all to Christ? What do you have? Let me ask you that question, actually. What do you have belonging to you? No. Thing. The only thing that we have that we should turn into God is what? A sin-polluted heart. This is what we turn in. A sin-polluted heart for Jesus to purify, to cleanse by His own blood, and to save by His matchless love. And yet, men think it hard to give it up. Or to give up all. I am ashamed to hear it spoken of, ashamed to write it. Even your love, my sister, I love your answer. You will not, and you will never be able to love God without Him prompting you to love Him. And the desire, we will talk about it. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Isaiah had written, "We are all as unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." Somebody said earlier, when you do good to others, doing good to others, is it a good thing? Yes, but it is not to be saved. It is not to be saved, because otherwise, what would the death of Jesus Christ, why would he die? Why would Jesus die if giving things to people would be able to save you? There would be no need. There would be no need for us to be saved. It says one more time, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. David had prayed, create in me a clean heart. Okay. This is the second time that we see that the Holy Spirit will create. Now, when you say creation, you see that the Holy Spirit is also a creator. The Holy Spirit is also creator. It is not just Jesus or the Father. The Holy Spirit is creator. Oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is spirit is different from another one, which is here. And through Ezekiel, the promise had been given. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, what is the reason for giving all these things? A new heart, a new spirit, a heart of flesh. What is the reason for doing that? It is right there. The reason is to walk in my statutes. That means to observe God's commandments. Okay. Now, you see, we cannot change our heart. God will. He said, I will. We cannot have a different spirit. Our minds are polluted. God will. We cannot change our stony heart into a flesh heart. God will. The Spirit of God will. So do not try to be saved on your own. It is impossible. God does not require us to give up anything that is for our best interest to retain. In all that he does, he has the well-being of his children in view. Would that all who have not chosen Christ might realize that he has something vastly better to offer them than they are seeking for themselves. When God asks you to change your mind, to give up something, it is because it's not good for you. Now, if you have a 1-year-old child grabbing a seed, jalapeno or cayenne pepper, a bottle of cayenne pepper, and she's trying to open that bottle, to put that bottle in his or her mouth, what would you do? Why would you take it away from him or her? Or kill her or him easily. So as a good parent, you take the battle away from him. That's the same thing that God does. Even though you may think it's good for you, but it's not good for you. God is wiser than we are. Many say God wants the heart and nothing else. Is it true? God wants the heart and nothing else. Is it true? No, no, yes, yes. Okay, 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 okay. These people are right. Okay? They right? Okay. One thing, though, they don't want to give that part to Christ. They say God wants the heart, but they don't want to give it to him. Why? Because exactly. Exactly. And they do not even call these things sin. They believe they good things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Even yourself cannot know your heart. Have you never found yourself doing something that you have never thought would do? You have never thought you would do. Is it me doing that? Or was it me doing that? Because the heart is deceitful above all things. Do not trust yourself. And do not trust anybody. The world's Redeemer accepts men as they are. Is it true? Yes. God accepts everybody, whoever that person may be, as he or she is, with all their wants, imperfections, weaknesses. And he will not only cleanse. Now, God does not accept you as you are and leaves you as you are. You come to him for a reason. You come to him to have your heart cleansed by his blood. But you need to accept to wear his yoke and bear his burden. Now, what is the yoke? What is the burden of Christ? What is a yoke? A yoke, think about a donkey or a cow that you use to tilt your ground so that you can plant your whatever seed. You put something in his neck to till the ground. Okay. That's a yoke. All right. But what is the yoke of Jesus Christ? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek. Aha. I am meek and lowly in heart. What is a meek person? What is a lowly of in heart person? When we get irritated for anything, when we get mad at anybody, when we yell at anyone, when we scream at anyone for anything, Jesus said, come and pick up my yoke. That means the meekness and the lowliness in heart. This is what Jesus says. That's the only thing. Have you ever prayed that you would not be irritated against anybody anymore? Sometimes you look down on people and you shall find rest unto your souls. Meekness and humbleness is what the burden of Jesus is. Meekness and humbleness. Jesus requires us to perform only those duties that will lead our steps to heights of bliss to which the disobedient can never attain. The true joyous life of the soul is to have Christ formed within the hope, within the hope of glory. The true joyous life is not and will never be in disobedience to the law of God, in the pleasure of this world, in drinking liquors, fermented wines, smoking cigarettes, vapes, cocaines, marijuana, dressing like the worldlings, eating impure flesh like swines, crabs, oysters, shrimps, geese, and so on, so on. If you do these things, you cannot expect to be saved. Give it all to Christ. Christ will accept you as you are. And if you allow him, he will cleanse you. Make you a new person. Many are inquiring, how am I to take? Aha! Okay. God, please. This is one of the most important part of this message. Open our eyes to see the truth and accept it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How am I to make the surrender of myself to God? How? This is our question. Everybody asks that question. How am I to make the surrender of myself to God? If you do not surrender, we just stop. That's the message that we're preaching, actually. Give your heart wholeheartedly to him. Okay. You desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. This is true. When you think about your past life, you said, I cannot do that. How would I be able to stop doing this? But you want to give your heart wholeheartedly to Christ, totally to Christ. How will I be able to do that? Okay, in slavery to doubt and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sin. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. Okay. Let me see the hand of anybody who believes that he or she can control his thoughts, impulses, and affections. Can you do that? You can do that? All right. So you, the strongest among us. All right, thank you, my friend. All right. Your promises and resolution are like ropes of sand. We just said it. You cannot. Because your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts. We just said it. You cannot control your impulses. We just said it. You cannot control your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. I will show you how to give your heart to Christ. And I need people, everyone who is here, everyone who is in the audience, to prepare for the call. To give your heart fully to Christ. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. Okay. What we need to understand is what? The true force of the will. Thank you, my sister. Anybody who read it? Okay. Understand that. This is the governing power, the will. Are you following? Do not sleep. Do not sleep. Do not slumber. Okay. This is the governing power in the nature of man. God has given this to us. The power of will. The power of decision or of choice. What do we need? To use our power of decision and or of choice. This is what we need. Let me break it down for you. Everything depends on the right action of the will. What's your will? When you see good and evil, what do you do? Do you choose to do the evil or the good? This is it. I choose to do the good things. Now, do you have power to do it? This is the problem. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs to exercise. Now, you cannot change your heart. Have you ever seen a leopard? Even in television or YouTube, a leopard? Everybody here probably has seen a leopard on YouTube or Facebook or wherever it is. Leopard is like a tiger is smaller than a tiger but has many spots on its body? Can the leopard take away or delete the spot on its body? No. Okay, I am black. Let's say that I am an Ethiopian. Can I change my skin? I mean, I can go to this to Walmart and buy some cream and use it for my body to look a little bit lighter. But this will never take place for me to change my skin. This is the same for our heart. We cannot change it. Now, I'm not going to be talking too much about it, but you can give. You cannot of yourself give to God its affection, but you can choose to serve Him. The only thing that you need to know and to do is what? Choose to serve Him. Choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. Give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. On your own, don't try to love God. On your own, do not try to stop sinning. On your own, do not try to do good to others. On your own, do not try to obey God's commandment. On your own, do not try to be saved. Dead end. All this is the work of God. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of God, of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires. Did I talk? I tell you to highlight desire. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go. Let me ask. Let me see the hand of those who have the desire to serve the Lord. Amen. Is it enough? Desire is there, is just a wish. But if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not know. Now, choose to be Christians. Now, you need to choose to be Christian. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up your will to Christ, God will prompt you to will, to yield your will to Christ. You cannot do it. You cannot love God on your own. He will do it for you. Just decide to love Him. You want to stop sinning? Just decide to stop sinning and ask God to help you. He will do it in you. Do not fight against sin. One reason many people are leaving the church because they've been fighting for a long time to be saved and they feel hopeless. Now, if you're fighting to be saved, you will end up doing the same thing that the other people are doing, leaving the church. Why? They don't see them saved. The only way to be saved is to yield. Ask God to take it. God, please, I cannot. Take it. Do not try to take part of it. It will not happen. Okay, you will have strength from above to hold you steadfast and thus through constant surrender. Constant. It is not just once for all. Constantly. Surrender to God. You will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. The class represented by the foolish virgins. Have you heard about foolish virgins? Who believe? No. Do you believe that you are a foolish virgin? No, nobody? Okay, she said she may be a foolish virgin. If you are not a foolish virgin, you are a wise virgin. Are you a wise virgin? Nobody? The class represented by the foolish virgins are not hypocrites. Are you hypocrites? Are you not hypocrites? Okay. Oh, okay. They have a regard for the truth. The foolish virgin have what? A regard for the truth. They have advocated the truth. Don't we do that every time? We advocate the truth. We have a regard for the truth. We believe that we are not hypocrites. They are attracted to those who believe the truth. Because you are a good person, quote unquote, people love to be in your circle. This is good. But listen to that. But they have not yielded themselves to the Holy Spirit's working. This is the problem of the foolish virgin. That's why they did not have what? Oil in their lamps. Because the oil represents the Holy Spirit. They have not fallen upon the rock Christ Jesus and permitted their old nature to be broken up. Your old nature needs to be broken up. This class are represented also by the stony ground hearers. In Matthew chapter 12 or 13, verses 1 to 40 and some. They receive the word with readiness. Some people receive the word with readiness, but they fail of assimilating its principles. Its influence is not abiding. The Spirit works upon man's heart according to his desire and consent, implanting in him a new nature. But the class represented by the foolish virgins have been content with a superficial work. If you are content of your situation, you are a foolish virgin. If because yesterday you did not sin and you believe you are standing in good ground, you are a foolish virgin. If you do not read the Bible clearly and to know the truth and to live by the truth, you are a foolish virgin. They do not know God. They have not studied his character. They have not held communion with him. Therefore, they do not know how to trust, how to look and live. Their service to God degenerates into a form. They come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Many church members are like that. The Apostle Paul points out that this will be the special characteristics of those who live just before Christ's second coming. Let me say it again. The Apostle Paul points out that this will be the special characteristics of those who live just before Christ's second coming. As he says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures. Lovers of pleasures, young people, lovers of pleasures, even adult people, lovers of pleasures. Where do you go on Saturday night? Lovers of pleasures. Wednesday night or Thursday, Friday night after paywall. What do you drink? What do you eat? Who are you hanging with? In the last days, various times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. A form, but the gospel does not go deep in the heart. There is no change. They do not yield. They do not surrender, but denying the power thereof. The 10 virgins are watching in the evening of this earth history. As now, as I'm talking, the 10 virgins are right here in the church. Hopefully everybody is a wise virgin. But in every church, there are wise virgins and foolish virgins. I am praying that all of us are wise virgins. But the 10 virgins are watching in the evening of this earth history, all claim to be Christians. All claim to be Christians. All have a call. All have a name. All have a limp. What is your limp? Thy word is. We have the Bible. I don't have a Bible with me here. Everybody has a Bible. Give it to me, please. Let me see the head of those. I just borrowed it. Your Bible. Anybody else? Your Bible. Your Bible. Yeah. But amen, 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 amen. Everybody has a name. Christian or Elias. Oh, everybody has a name. Okay, this is our name. Everybody profess to be doing God's service. All apparently wait for Christ appearing. Are we waiting for the second coming of Christ? Yes, okay. But five will be found surprised. Five of the 10. When Jesus says five, it is not to say that exactly half will be saved, half will not be saved. We know that the majority will not be saved. The majority of the church members, I'm praying. I have my sister. I have two sisters that I used to talk to. But let me put a third one. Naomi, Martha, and I forget your name, my sister. Nobert. I'm praying to see you in heaven. I hope you will be in heaven. I've been telling you, my sister Naomi, you will be there. I am not Paul. I am not Sister White. I'm not Jesus Christ. But I hope, my sister, I don't forget you. Do not look like. Hopefully we will be in heaven. But five will be surprised, dismayed, outside the banquet hall. Now, let me see the head of those who want to submit, to surrender totally, wholly, entirely, wholeheartedly to Christ. Let me see the head of those people. Thank you. Do you know that every time we should surrender to Christ, every time we should accept Christ as our personal Savior? Every time. Let me see the head of those who want to accept Christ as their personal Savior. Do you know there is one way to be saved? No. There is one of the ways, in the big way to be saved, is to be baptized. There is one big way to be saved, except Christ. Give yourself totally to Christ. But there are some steps. One of them is to do what? To be baptized. Let me see the hands of those who want to be baptized. Amen. I see 1, 2, 3. Did you raise your hand? Nobody else? I see. Okay. Thank you. But where's Derek? He needs to take the name of these people to commune with them, to talk with them. First elder, you see the hands? Okay, let me ask one more time. I'm sorry, because the first elder needs to see your hand. Those who want to be baptized, one more time. 1, 2. Okay. You see the hand? All right. Now, I have 4 questions, at least. Do you feel that you have some characteristics of the foolish virgin? Yes. I have some of these characteristics that needs to be changed, completely removed. Otherwise, I will be among the foolish virgins, and I will not be in the banquet hall. That means I will not be in heaven. Second, do you have a stony heart? A stony heart is a heart, Jesus said, a heart that when the sower is sowing, part of the seeds fall where? On the wayside or sideways. And what happens? Birds can come and do what? Eat them all. Why? Oh, no. This is not the stony heart. I'm not sorry. This is not the stony ground. The stony ground is the heart where when you sow the seed, it grows up immediately, not the same day, and then dies off. Why? Because there is no ground. The soil is not deep enough. That means many church members accept the truth immediately because they do not understand it. Satan comes and take it away. Church members, the stony heart. Third, do you want to yield up all to Christ? All. Are you serious? Do you really want to yield all to Christ? Let me say it again. Amen. Those who want to yield up all to Christ, please stand up for a special prayer. Amen. Let me pray. This time it's going to be me praying. I don't even know what I'm going to say. But God, please lead me. Dear Father, we just heard a message. This is a justification by faith message. So needed for our time, which requires that we yield everything, I mean everything to you, wholeheartedly, willingly, because you do not force your will on anybody. Everybody in the church has decided to yield everything to you. I mean, Jesus, I feel like we may say it with all our heart because it is a desire. But a mere desire cannot go further than that. So we pray that you would transform that desire and make it real. That when there is something in our lives that is not in harmony with you, we may accept to give it up to you. That you may transform us. You may recreate in us a new heart. And prepare us to go to heaven with you. I see some hands. At least two hands. Miranda and Michelle. Deciding to get baptized. Please, I hope this is a call that is answered by wise virgins. No one wants to be surprised. We want to be in the banquet hall with you. All of us. Please do that for us. And this prayer, I do it in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.